today and tomorrow are WRAL weather alert days. Both days we have a level 2 risk for severe storms. I'll walk you through a bit of an unusual timeline for us.
An event prep is underway for a ceremony happening this morning in Raleigh that will honor fallen heroes. Coming up, how this tribute comes just 1 week after 4 officers were killed in Charlotte.
Welcome in on your Wednesday morning on your WRAL weather alert day. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Chris Lovingood. We want to get right to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner because, Elizabeth, this is a severe weather risk, the level 2, if I'm not mistaken, not just for today, but tomorrow as well.
It's sort of an interesting timeline. We're going to see the showers and thunderstorms developing late afternoon, evening, and continuing overnight into tomorrow morning. We don't typically see overnight and morning severe weather here, so that's something you just need to be aware of and plan for. What we're likely to see is damaging winds, heavy rain, isolated tornadoes. Tomorrow morning, we may have enough rain in places for some isolated flooding, too. So the morning commute tomorrow could be a real mess. Most likely, the bulk of this will taper off by lunchtime, but there's the possibility of an isolated storm or two during the evening. Here's a look at where that front is right now. This is the same one that we've been following for much of the week with a lot of damaging weather across the country, especially Oklahoma and the plains. We have a brand new severe thunderstorm watch that just popped up across Missouri as we see that cold front sliding eastward. And of course, we have this line out ahead of it. That's what we're going to start to see overnight tonight and into early tomorrow. And then we may get another round on Friday when the front itself comes through. So a complicated pattern with us for the next couple of days with a lot of opportunities for storms. We're seeing mostly cloudy skies this morning. We'll see some sunshine on and off this afternoon until 5 or 6 o'clock. That's when we'll start to see that first round descending on the triangle, sliding south and east. There's at 9 p.m. big cluster of thunderstorms that could produce some damage. At midnight, another one. This one's really slow moving and just sort of takes over the viewing area all the way through 6, 7, 8 o'clock. So again, the morning commute could be very messy with the potential for some severe weather. We will be with you all night tracking these storms. So if thunderstorms come through, you get a warning, turn on the TV. We will be here with you. Showers up until maybe lunchtime and possibly another round during the evening on Thursday. But most of it should happen in the morning. Durham looking nice and bright this morning, 74 degrees. It feels like summer as you step out the door. Our dew points way up at 67. We'll see a high of 92 this afternoon, but the heat index will make it feel even hotter than that. I'll show you what the heat index will be through the afternoon. Coming up, Ken.
Elizabeth, at 8:02, we've been monitoring a crash that happened on I-40 westbound near Hammond Road, and we're being told that this involves a bus. We've got Sky 5 going to that scene, but we'll keep monitoring it for you here in the WRAL Traffic Center. We can see right now in the immediate area, it's not causing any congestion, but once you get past that situation on Hammond Road, this is what you're going to run into on the westbound lanes of I-40. This is a live camera at I-40 and Lake Wheeler Road. There's the westbound lanes heading away from us. But again, Sky 5 is going to give us an idea of what's going on there in the I-40 and Hammond Road area. Elsewhere in the Triangle, we've also been monitoring this crash in the downtown area on Davie Street near Commerce Place, not causing any problems for you to report if that's part of your morning commute heading into the downtown area. Of course, we're seeing the usual morning congestion building coming in off of 87 coming in on the southbound lanes as you exit there onto the north side of the Beltline. That's the usual morning congestion that we're going to be seeing. We'll keep monitoring it here in the WRAL Traffic Center.
All right, we'll see you in just a bit, Ken. Thank you. We're following a story that broke overnight. Police investigating a shooting in West Durham. This happened on Alabama Avenue near West Knox Street. I want to show you some video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. You can see this is what it looked like hours ago. Investigators have been there beyond midnight, at least around 11:56, in fact. The Durham Police Department and Fire and EMS responded to a report of a person who had been shot. We're still trying to get more information into this, as well as a car that investigators appear to have been looking into the early hours this morning. WRAL News is working to learn the extent of the victim's injuries and whether police have a suspect in custody for this case.
And firefighters in Cary are trying to determine what started a house fire there this morning. This happened on Brandywine Drive off Trinity Road just after 3 o'clock this morning. A lot of damage we saw on scene appeared to be within the garage. Firefighters had the fire under control within an hour and a half. At last check, no injuries were reported.
Today, North Carolina lawmakers will vote on a bill that would expand the legal definition of anti-Semitism. The bill is known as the Shalom Act. Critics say it could censor legitimate political dissent. House Speaker Tim Moore plans to hold a news conference this morning in support of the bill. At the same time, opponents, including the Jewish Voice for Peace and the ACLU, plan to rally against this. The House is expected to vote on the bill this afternoon.
Today, the State Department of Adult Correction is holding its annual memorial ceremony to honor the people who died on the job. And WRL's Kelsey Coffey joins us live on West Morgan Street in Raleigh outside a department building. And Kelsey, this is happening when more than a week ago, two department employees died in that Charlotte shooting. Michelle, it is. An event prep is already underway, so you can see some of the staff members there working and trying to rehearse for that event that's going to happen later at 9:30. And there is a permanent memorial that sits in front of the department office this morning in Raleigh. It pays tribute to fallen heroes who were in the Department of Adult Correction. But today, the DAC will take even more time to honor those who lost their lives in a line of duty. Today's ceremony comes just a week after the shooting in Charlotte. Two of the four officers killed while trying to serve a warrant were with the DAC, Sam Pelosi and Alden Elliott. The agency honored the two men earlier this week with a memorial vehicle. Morgan Street between Tryon Hill Drive and Mayo Street will be closed today between 9 and 12 for this event. And Governor Roy Cooper will be speaking at this morning's ceremony that starts at 9:30 here at the Randall Building. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, live in Raleigh.
Former President Donald Trump's criminal trial will continue today, and this is despite a request from his lawyers that the judge declare a mistrial. It followed testimony from adult film actress Stormy Daniels yesterday. She claims she had sex with Trump in 2006. Daniels went into extreme detail about the encounter. Trump's lawyer said that her testimony was prejudicial and that she changed her story from what she said in 2016, but the judge disagreed.
Police have arrested two Durham men in connection with a series of break-ins in Cary. This is one of the men who is charged, Tremaine Mason. He faces 57 counts of burglary. Another man, Dion Lyles, was arrested after police say he led them on a chase yesterday morning. That ended in a crash on I-85 near Hillendale Road. At last check, he's in the hospital for injuries that he suffered in that crash, but is expected to recover. He's facing 20 counts of burglary.
If you pay taxes in Wake County, more of your money could be going to public schools. The school board approved a budget proposal last night requesting additional money from the county for pay raises. But keep in mind, it's far from a done deal. Again, this is a budget proposal. It asks for more than $63 million in additional local funds. And that would help cover a 4% salary supplement for teachers, a raise to $17.75 an hour for cafeteria and maintenance workers, and a minimum pay of $20 an hour for bus drivers. But the county's budget proposal includes only $49 million in additional school funding.
This is about the livelihood of our staff. We have to remember that. We know it's a big ask, but these are your constituents.
County commissioners plan to approve their budget by June 3rd.
Canes fans familiar with that name. With two losses in their series with the Rangers, the Hurricanes have to pull off some wins. Former Cane Vincent Trocheck scored the goal in double overtime last night to give the Rangers the 4-3 win in game two. Hurricane fans, though, were out in full force to cheer on their favorite team. This is what sports and social in Cary looked like last night as fans watched the game. Fans we spoke with said that they're confident the team can come back in the series and bring the Stanley Cup back to Raleigh.
Hoping the best for the series, but I think we're overall the better team. So we'll see what happens. I hope we take it to the Cup. So, hope we make the Cup, bring it home to Raleigh.
The Carolina Hurricanes are coming back home for their next two games. Game three is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at PNC Arena. And after the game, be sure to watch WREL for our exclusive post-game live coverage. That starts at 11:25.
New research is revealing genetic markers that predict whether you'll develop Alzheimer's later in life. We'll hear from experts this morning about what's behind this.
Plus, the new developments in a long-standing debate over what's in our tap water, what experts are saying about removing fluoride from drinking water.
And I'm tracking a front that's likely to bring us severe storms for late this afternoon and evening, overnight and into the first part of the day tomorrow. I'll show you the timeline coming up.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You are taking a live look over a pretty cloudy North Hills this morning. You're watching WREL News, available on Spectrum and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. It looks like this for now, but we are anticipating that rain to start later this evening. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tracking it all for us. We'll take a live look at what's happening out there right now. This is a look at our front and all the showers and thunderstorms associated with it. They trail off down through Nashville and Memphis. A severe thunderstorm watch just popped up here across parts of Missouri. This is likely to be in two parts for us and sort of an unusual timeline. We'll start to see the showers and thunderstorms this evening, overnight through early tomorrow morning, meaning we could have some warnings during the morning commute and then a little bit of a break, and we'll have another round potentially when the front itself comes through on Friday. So we're going to be dealing with this for a while. Here's a look. Damaging winds, hail, isolated tornado threat starting this evening and overnight into even early tomorrow morning. And as we get through the morning hours, we may even see some isolated flooding as that rain continues to develop across the same time. So again, Wednesday evening, Wednesday night through Thursday morning up till around lunchtime, and then another threat on Friday afternoon. Right now, we don't have a severe threat for Friday afternoon, but thunderstorms are certainly a possibility. It's a level 2 risk for today and tomorrow, covering almost the entire state for both time periods, but it's really going to be seamless. So we'll continue to have that threat overnight into tomorrow morning. Right now, we're looking at some cloud cover out there, some sunshine breaking through from time to time. Here comes that round one starting this evening. There's 7 p.m. At 9 p.m., we're still dealing with that for Fayetteville, Clinton. At midnight, another round comes through. That may be a fairly slow moving round through the area, and that could bring some severe storms all the way through the middle of the morning, and then it begins to taper off around or after lunchtime. There's a small chance that Thursday afternoon or evening we would see a few storms popping up. It just depends. Definitely down to our south in South Carolina. We'll have to see how far north those spread. On Friday morning, we'll see partly cloudy skies, but watch the development starting around lunchtime and into the afternoon again for our southern counties on Friday. It's possible that we would have isolated power outages with this system. You can see that especially from the Triangle area eastward, and a good bit of rain as well. We're going to have these storms sitting over us for a fairly long time. So half an inch to an inch and a half of rain for Thursday and Wednesday combined. The weekend looks great. Mother's Day still looks wonderful, partly cloudy. The humidity is going to get on out of here, but definitely hot and sticky for us today and tomorrow, especially today, that high of 92 coming up. I'll show you what it will feel like with the heat index, probably one of the hottest feeling days so far this year. And then again, feeling much more comfortable for the weekend. Ken?
Elizabeth, some good news to report. That crash we've been following on the Beltline, actually the I-40 westbound near Hammond Road is cleared, but we'll get to that in a minute. But first, I want to bring your attention to this crash here in the I-85 in the northbound lanes near the I-40 westbound exit ramp. From our sensors, we're not picking up any delays in that area, but take a look at what's happening in the eastbound lanes. Quite a bit of backup happening in the eastbound lanes near in Orange County. An alternate route might be 85 or 70 if you're coming from the westbound to the east side of our community. Here, this is the crash we told you about. We've been monitoring here in the westbound lanes of I-40 on Hammond Road. That's completely cleared right now. But it's a situation that you'll see some lingering delays in that area. Elsewhere around the Triangle, we're seeing the usual congestion that we see during the morning time coming in from I-87, coming from the Knightdale. You swing onto the north side of the Beltline. That's exactly what's happening right now this morning. And this is what it looks like. These are the 87 coming on the Beltline and the traffic backup that's happening right now.
All right, thank you, Ken. Strong storms moving through Ohio left behind damage in several areas last night. This is video from northwest of Dayton near the Indiana border. The storm left downed power lines and trees. Some blocked streets or fell onto homes. There are also reports of flooding in some areas.
A coordinated running effort tonight will honor the 4 law enforcement officers killed last week in Charlotte. The organization behind this is encouraging you to join in. 4 youth runners from Georgia, Florida, and New Jersey will each run 1 mile tonight to honor an officer. The first run starts at 6 p.m. The organization Running for Heroes is behind this effort. It encourages people across the country to go on their own 1 mile walk or run tonight to remember the men who died.
The 6th body was recovered at the site of the Baltimore Bridge collapse. Jose Lopez is believed to be the last victim pulled from the Patapsco River. The Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed after a cargo vessel lost power and slammed right into it on March 26th. The 6 people killed were part of a construction crew repairing potholes on the bridge.
Firefighters in Arizona are trying to contain this, a wildfire with a flying bucket. The wildfire is burning near Goodyear, Arizona. It's about 25 minutes outside Phoenix. Investigators believe the fire was started by people target shooting in the area on Monday. And this morning, the fire has now grown to more than 2,000 acres. But no one's been hurt and no structures have been damaged.
There's a growing push to flush fluoride from water systems, including some here in North Carolina. A controversial 2019 study showed that slightly lower IQ scores in children whose mothers had higher levels of fluoride exposure during pregnancy. But the study's author acknowledges more research is needed with that. Community members in Union County, North Carolina, came forward to express concerns. In February, the county commission voted to remove fluoride from the water, and one dentist says she's alarmed.
We know that fluoride works. All the journal articles have shown that there's a 25% reduction in children and adult decay for people that are in community fluoridated water.
Major health organizations, including the CDC, the American Dental Association, and the American Academy of Pediatrics, they all support fluoride in drinking water. The CDC says that fluoridation is one of the top 10 greatest public health achievements of the past century.
Some state leaders say they're frustrated with the stalling of rules that would limit pollution. This is specifically over forever chemicals in ground and surface water. The delay comes after a pushback from the NC Chamber. It sent a letter to the Department of Environmental Quality. Forever chemicals, also known as PFAS, have been linked to health effects, including cancer. New federal drinking water standards require water systems to pay for filtration systems to remove the chemicals. The DEQ secretary says regulations to prevent PFAS pollution at the source will cut those costs for ratepayers.
My frustration is making sure, I think we can all agree, that everything shouldn't be borne by our residents, that the folks who are putting PFAS in the environment should also participate in the cleaning up of this pollution so that we are able to make sure that we're protecting public health.
The Environmental Management Commission is meeting today, but will not have a vote on the standards. WREL's climate change reporter Liz McLaughlin will have more details on this tonight.
Researchers found a pair of genes that can predict whether you will develop Alzheimer's. Experts say those two copies of the APOE4 gene develop Alzheimer's up to 10 years sooner than others. While the gene was thought to be just a risk factor, new research indicates they can be an underlying cause for the disease. The study shows that almost all people with the two genes show signs of early onset Alzheimer's when symptoms start by age 50.
We can see that basically everybody with the two alleles of E4 eventually develop Alzheimer's pathology and eventually also develop symptoms of Alzheimer's disease. So that indicates that it is not just a risk factor, but that it's a strong predictor that these individuals would develop Alzheimer's pathology.
More than 6 million Americans have Alzheimer's disease, but there is still no cure. Experts recommend seeking advice from your doctor if you have a family history of Alzheimer's.
Today's show co-host Craig Melvin is celebrating a very special project. He released his first children's book yesterday. Craig joined me yesterday to share more about his new release and what it means to him and his family. With today's Craig Melvin, and it's a very, very important day because Craig Melvin is celebrating the release of his latest book. So Craig, thank you so much for joining us and congratulations on your new book release.
Chris, thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for the time.
Now, your first book, Pops, was for a very different audience, but both books have that father and son
yes.
dynamic. So why did you decide to write your newest book, I Am Proud of You?
You know, I wanted to celebrate fatherhood. I wanted to celebrate parenthood in general, but especially fatherhood. And I've got a son who's 10. I've got a daughter who's 7 and a half. That half is very important, by the way, Chris. And I wanted my children to know how proud they make me. And what started to happen was, you know, the hustle and bustle of parenthood and the daily rigors of the job, just the hours that we're forced to keep at the Today Show, I found myself sort of taking for granted some of the smaller accomplishments that I would see on a daily basis. And so I wanted to document that first time that he tied his shoe or he jumped off the high dive or he made someone laugh deliberately. And so the first part of the book is devoted to that. And later in the book, I spent some time writing about watching the kind of person my son is becoming. I write about his kindness, his discovering empathy and practicing empathy with his sister. And so I wanted to document it, and then I started thinking, you know what, if I'm letting some of this stuff slip through the cracks, some other parents might be as well. So I wrote it for all of them as well.
Today's Craig Belvin showing his new book, I Am Proud of You. It's now available for purchase. Craig, thanks so much for joining us.
Chris, thank you. Thank you so much.
And Craig is going on a book tour. He'll be in Charlotte on Saturday if you plan on going over there. Terminal 1 at RDU is seeing some extra traffic this morning. How the addition of Alaska Airlines is affecting people taking flights out of Raleigh today.
And an overnight shooting in Durham closed a section of road overnight. New information just into our newsroom about the victim. That's just ahead.
With the latest WRAL weather alert day info. Get up to the minute weather and traffic conditions when you get in your car. In Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. It is a WRAL weather alert day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tracking some storms that we're going to see later this afternoon and evening.
We have a couple little tiny showers that have just started to pop up in our southern counties. I'll zoom in on that. And you can see right there across parts of Harnett County, right there in Carthage as well. Just tiny little showers. Not expecting any thunderstorms until later this afternoon and this evening. That's when we'll have a better chance of severe storms. It's a level 2 risk. We could see isolated tornadoes as well as damaging winds and hail. Our chance for rain goes up as we get through the evening and continues overnight into tomorrow morning. So we'll continue to have that potential for severe storms overnight and early tomorrow, even during the morning commute. We'll take a live look at Chapel Hill. Fairly gray out there right now. It's warm and sticky, temperatures in the 70s heading out the door. We'll see a high of 92 with a heat index in the mid to upper 90s this afternoon. Ken?
Elizabeth, all new into the WRAL Traffic Center. We're just getting reports of a crash on I-40 westbound near the Gorman Street exit. This happened within the last couple of minutes, and as you can see, it's causing quite a bit of backup on I-40 westbound. The westbound lanes of I-40 have been a mess this morning because we were dealing with a crash on Hammond Road earlier in the in this broadcast, and now we're dealing with this crash on Gorman Street in the westbound lanes. We'll keep monitoring it and give you an update over on Fox 50 in the next half hour.
All right, thanks, Ken. One man was shot just before midnight in West Durham. It happened near Alabama Avenue and West Knox Street. Durham police, EMS, and fire all responded to the scene. The street is closed this morning. We have an update about why police are searching a black car coming up on Fox 50. Also next on Fox 50, the latest sign of growth for RDU as Alaska Airlines moved to Terminal 1. And next on Today, model Christy Turlington Burns and author Kelly Corrigan live in Studio 1A.
We have two WRAL weather alert days in a row today and tomorrow with a level 2 risk. I'll show you what we could see and the timeline for these storms.
Plus, Durham police are investigating after a man was shot just before midnight, closing a street all morning. New information about the victim and why investigators were searching a black car just ahead.
Terminal 1 is getting a bit busier here at RDU as a new airline is taking off from the terminal. A look at how things are going today as RDU continues to see growth.
Thank you for joining us this morning on WRAL News on Fox 50. I am Chris Lovinggood.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. It is a WRAL weather alert day. Most of our area under that level 2 risk. Elizabeth Gardner is here to time out the storms, when they'll arrive and when they're going to push out.
We do have the potential for isolated tornadoes, damaging winds, hail, maybe even some isolated flooding. We have that level 2 risk for the entire viewing area for today, as well as tonight and into the day tomorrow. So we're going to just continue this. Normally, we'll see storms tapering off in the evening. and then redeveloping the next afternoon. This is likely to continue overnight, so a bit of a more unusual situation. Here's a look at what's happening right now. We have a couple little showers that have popped up. They're across parts of Harnett County, Johnston County, and Moore County. None of that is strong to severe yet. We're not likely to see that until much later. Well, look at that tornado warning just popped up there north of Nashville there along the Kentucky-Tennessee line. That whole line headed our way. And again, we'll have our best chance of some of these stronger storms starting this evening. We're looking at variably cloudy skies. We've got some cloud cover in places and some sunshine in others. We'll be watching that potential for the thunderstorms to develop during this evening. And then just stick with us overnight. There's 9 o'clock, another round there at midnight, continuing to linger all the way through around the middle of the morning tomorrow. We don't often see severe storms overnight and in the morning hours, but that could be what we're dealing with during the morning commute tomorrow, so keep that in mind. We'll take a live look at Pinehurst right now. A little bit of cloud cover there. It's a touch breezy. It's really warm. Temperatures are in the mid-70s as you're headed out the door. We'll see a high of 92 this afternoon with a heat index in the mid to upper 90s. Ken?
Elizabeth, all new into the WRL Traffic Center. We're working to get more information about the crash that just happened on the westbound lanes near the Gorman Street exit. Of course, it's about a half mile from this camera here at I-40 and Lake Wheeler. It's somewhere around that corner there that where that crash has happened. Of course, it's causing this major backup there in the westbound lanes of I-40 in the south side of the Beltline this morning. I want to give you an idea of what that looks like on the map. This is what we're talking about here, this congestion in this area right here. This crash that we've been monitoring as well has cleared a little bit, so that's not a problem to report in that neck of the woods. Elsewhere around the triangle, we're seeing the usual backup that we see on the north side of the Beltline this morning. This is around Six Forks and Capitol Boulevard coming in from 87. Major problems to report. We're also seeing some bumper-to-bumper traffic up there on I-540 as well. So you might want to keep that in mind if either of these major thoroughfares are part of your morning commute.
And Jeff Hogan of the WRL Live Center. Brand new information this morning on a story that we have been following all morning long. Nick Perlin was out there in the WRL Breaking News Tracker. This is a photo he took of a street that was closed after a vehicle was found right at the end of the street. I'm going to take you to some video here to show you as police responded right around midnight. This is northwest of downtown Durham and Alabama Avenue. We're looking down right here, but police were called to Lawndale Avenue. And when they got there, they found a man had been shot. He was taken to the hospital. He is expected to survive. The man's vehicle, though, was found right at the end of the street at the intersection of West Knox and Alabama Avenue. He had bounced off a couple other vehicles there, crashed into some other cars that were parked. So the center of attention was the black vehicle at the end of the street there. So they continue to investigate this shooting that took place. And we're just getting some more information now about if anybody knows anything else about this, they're asked to call Durham Police or call Crime Stoppers and give that information as a tip.
Any more context to that story? Firefighters in Cary are trying to determine what caused a house fire this morning. The fire was on Brandywine Drive off Trinity Road, if you know that area. This appears to have happened within a garage. You can see right there on your screen. Firefighters had this under control within about an hour and a half, but at last check, no injuries have been reported. And two buildings caught fire in Fayetteville overnight. The WRL Breaking News Tracker got this video of Mary Street. That's where firefighters put out the flames that affected at least two homes there. Investigators say the buildings were vacant and nobody was injured. Both houses are considered to be total losses.
Pro-Palestinian protesters in Raleigh say they're planning another demonstration this week. This was the scene downtown last night as hundreds marched for their cause. Raleigh police blocked off streets as the group marched near Moore Square. Before the march, the crowd rallied in the park. They want North Carolinians to do more to help stop the war in Gaza.
I want them to know that we want this war to end. We want this occupation to end. And we are concerned and we are worried. We're worried about the people in Gaza.
And the group says its next protest may happen this weekend.
Today, the North Carolina Department of Adult Correction will honor the people who have died on the job. WRL's Kelsey Coffey joins us live from West Morgan Street. Kelsey, this ceremony comes just over a week after two officers from that agency died in that Charlotte shooting.
Chris, it sure does. And event prep is already underway outside of the Randall building. So you can see people are gathering outside of the building right now. They're standing there. And there's also some people that are in front of the permanent memorial that is in front of the building. It pays tribute to fallen heroes who were a part of the Department of Adult Correction. And today, the DAC will take even more time to honor those who lost their lives in a line of duty. Today's ceremony comes just a week after the shooting in Charlotte. Two of the four officers killed while trying to serve a warrant were with the DAC, Sam Pelosi and Alden Elliott. The agency honored the two men earlier this week with a memorial vehicle. Morgan Street between Tryon Hill Drive and Mayo Street will be closed today between 9 and 12 for this event. Governor Roy Cooper will be speaking at this morning's ceremony. We'll be sure to have a crew here and keep you updated. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, I'm in Raleigh.
And this morning, you may see fewer cars on the road in Durham and more kids and adults walking to school. Several schools are participating in National Walk, Bike, and Roll to School Day. Students and staff at Club Boulevard Elementary, Lakewood Montessori Middle School, and Merrick Moore Elementary are all encouraging students to gather for events today. Other schools are also encouraging more students to walk to school throughout the month.
The Carolina Hurricanes find themselves in a bigger hole as their second round series returns to Raleigh. The New York Rangers won game two last night in double overtime, 4-3. They lead the series 2-0 heading into game three at PNC Arena tomorrow night. And coming up in less than 10 minutes, WRL's Casey Hintz is in New York with why the Canes came up short in game two and what they need to do to get back into the series.
Another change is coming to RDU at Terminal 1, marking the growth of the airport. Alaska Airlines is making the move to the terminal today. And WRL's Laura Levine explains this is one of many airlines that's moved into Terminal 1 so far this year.
Terminal 1 is a lot busier than what we typically are used to here. Alaska Airlines is now at the end of the terminal right next to Breeze, which also just was recently added to this terminal last month.
Good morning, sir. You're flying with Alaska Airlines.
RDU says the move is being made to maximize gate space in both terminals, accommodate airline needs, and prepare for continued growth. This terminal also has 8 food and beverage options, including Raleigh Beer Garden, which is coming soon. I spoke with some families who say they wish the communication was a little bit better about the change. A woman helping her parents fly to Alaska for vacation was among those who got confused today.
It was different because I was used to going to Terminal 2, never used this terminal, so we had to walk all the way from there to here and look around where Alaska is at, so it's different.
And those assistants are on standby waiting to help anyone who needs it. Folks who are flying with Alaska Airlines or anyone who is heading to the airport today, be sure to check in with your airline so you won't have any confusion. Laura Levine, WRL News at RDU.
Today, the North Carolina Black Alliance's Divine Nine fraternities and sororities will share their concerns with lawmakers. The annual Divine Nine Legislative Day starts at 9 o'clock this morning. It's about 20 minutes from now. The Reverend Dr. William Barber will be the keynote speaker for this event. Governor Roy Cooper is also expected to speak at this. The group plans to talk about their legislative goals for issues including election protection, health care access, and educational equity.
Tonight, you have one more chance to give your thoughts about the search for a new superintendent for Durham Public Schools. A community meeting is happening tonight at Southern High School. The meeting will get started at 6 o'clock. You can also give your thoughts through a survey on the DPS website. That survey will be available through Friday. Coming up, the same storm system headed our way is causing a lot of damage throughout the country. We'll bring you to some of the wreckage left behind in Michigan.
And we're getting you a live look at Durham on this WRL Weather Alert Day. See the cloud coverage? See what's happened there? Elizabeth Gardner gives us a timeline of the level 2 risk that we will see today and tomorrow. Getting a live look outside at Warrington right now. Got some nice, pretty blue skies. They're waking up this morning, though things are going to look a little less pretty as we go along through the day here. Elizabeth Gardner has been tracking our WRL Weather Alert Day, not just for today, but tomorrow too.
Interesting scenario for us. It's going to start this evening, continue overnight into tomorrow morning, instead of taking a break overnight, which is what we typically see. We do have a Weather Alert Day for today and tomorrow. The best storm chance starts this evening and lasts all the way through the morning tomorrow, maybe even through lunchtime. And then the front itself arrives on Friday with some afternoon and evening thunderstorms possible. But right now, it looks like the most dangerous storms would be tonight and early tomorrow. Here's dual Doppler 5000 radar. We have just a couple of isolated showers that just started to pop up about 30 minutes or so ago. Benson, a little sprinkle, same thing in Dunn. Carthage riding through there over toward Harnett County. So not much out there. We have had some thunderstorms in the mountains, and it looks like that's just a little bit leftover, a little disturbance kind of swinging through ahead of the main event. And you can see all those thunderstorms. You have an ongoing tornado warning on the border of Kentucky and Tennessee, and a number of severe thunderstorm warnings as well. So our turn comes later on this evening, overnight and into the day tomorrow. It is a level two risk for almost the entire viewing area. We have that potential for damaging winds, isolated tornadoes, hail, heavy rain for 2 days in a row. So again, late tonight through at least the middle of the day on Thursday, damaging winds, hail, isolated tornadoes, and possibly some power outages with that potential for wind damage. Let's walk through the next few hours. We're looking at partly cloudy to mostly cloudy skies. We have some sunshine breaking through in a few places, and then thunderstorms start to pop up late this afternoon into this evening. There's 9 p.m. New run of the model shows plenty of storms there at midnight, and that continues into 6 a.m. and beyond, possibly all the way up until around noon or so. You can see that new batch that's there at noon. Most likely, we don't see any storms Thursday evening after this all rolls through, but we can't completely rule that out just yet. Look at Pinehurst this morning. Mostly cloudy, but a little bit of blue sky trying to peek through. It is really warm and sticky. It feels just like summer today, 74 degrees. We'll see a high of 92 this afternoon in Raleigh, 91 in Durham, and 93 in Fayetteville. Heat index way up there. It's going to feel like mid-90s to maybe even upper 90s in a few places. We're sitting right now at steamy and headed to tropical tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be a very hot and muggy day as well. And then once we get into the weekend, we get a nice little break. Our temperature on Saturday, 75, low humidity and sunshine. And Mother's Day looks good too, just a slight bit warmer at 81.
You know what? Let's keep talking about Mother's Day. If you're still trying to come up with the perfect gift idea, WREL Family has you covered. Lifestyle editor Kathy Hanrahan is here with some pretty great gift ideas. So right here, even on the table, these aren't just random, right? Your son made these.
My son made these over the years. My son is 11 now. And so he made this one year. And then we've got, you know, this. We've got this. We're going to talk about all of it. But one of the best ways to spoil mom, and they do this every year for me, is to start off with breakfast in bed or even brunch. Let mom sleep in a little bit. So you can always make her something. Presentation is key. Look at that. Just add some fruit. Make it healthy, you know. You could always, we have tons of recipes, tons of pancake recipes, I feel like, on WREL
Family
right now.
Who doesn't love pancakes?
So if you're interested in that, we've definitely got a whole bunch of recipes for you right now. You can go search for that. So we definitely have all that if you're interested in feeding mom, because mom's got to eat, right?
Of course. Mom's got
to eat.
So, you know, obviously breakfast in bed is one thing, but what about the kids who want to make gifts, maybe like your son made? What are some cool gift ideas?
I love the whole homemade gift idea. So we've got some great ideas for that, too. So a lot of schools, the daycares or the schools will help the children make something. But if you don't have a crafty, you know, experience like that, we've got stuff online. We've got thumbprint flowers that you can do. We even have stuff like this. We can make flowers out of construction paper and just write things you like about mom. Then we've got things like this where it's a questionnaire. So you can go through and just write like 10 things you like about mom or mom's favorite things. Those are always really, really popular.
You know, I like to make stuff for my mom, but like I'm at the age now where I get so busy. And so online ordering, that's usually the way I gift for mom.
It works.
So for some suggestions, maybe ideas for maybe what places to take mom for Mother's Day.
Yeah, if mom loves flowers, don't just get her flowers. You can bring her to all the flowers.
Yeah.
We've got a list of the 8 best gardens in the Triangle online right now. And you can bring her to explore like the WREL Gardens or the Raleigh Rose Garden, and I know the Juniper Botanical Garden's got something going on this weekend. We also have a good list of places to go hiking. So if mom loves hiking and getting outdoors, we've got that covered too.
Yeah, I won't be here Sunday, but I guarantee that some people will be stopping by the Azalea Garden. It's so beautiful this time of year. Lifestyle editor Kathy Hanrahan joining us this morning. Thank you so much. And if you need more suggestions for Mother's Day, folks, just go to WREL.com and search the keyword family.
All right, thanks, guys. Well, cleanup will continue this morning in Portage, Michigan, after two tornadoes touched down in the city. Take a look at the damage here. That city is about 2 hours away from Detroit. Some of the tornadoes ripped off the side of a FedEx facility, trapping about 50 workers there. First responders worked to clear live electrical wires blocking their exit. The other tornado took direct aim at this mobile home park, where entire homes have been destroyed. Some homes are knocked off their foundations. Thankfully, there have been no reports of any injuries or deaths so far. And a safety feature in nearly all cars may be linked to cancer. That's according to a new study out of Duke University. Researchers found likely or known carcinogens from flame retardants and seat foam, plastics, and fabric. They were found in 99% of cars. The researchers say the chemicals are more likely to be released on hot days. They say that you should roll down your windows when possible. A Consumer Report petition launched this week calls federal safety officials to update standards for flame retardants.
April was the world's hottest month on record to date. The European Union's Climate Monitoring Service shares new data showing 11 consecutive months of unprecedented heat. Scientists warn there is a strong chance this year could end up the warmest year on record, for the second year in a row, in fact. Last month's global ocean heat also broke records for the 13th consecutive month.
The Canes are down 2-0 in their series with the New York Rangers. And WRL's Casey Hintz joins us from Madison Square Garden with a look at what played out when the teams went into double overtime last night.
By Slavin, follow-up is free. They score! Vincent Trocheck wins it at overtime for New York.
Yeah, hey, good morning, everyone. Just another tough night here last night at Madison Square Garden as the Canes fall 4-3 in double overtime. But when you look at this game as a whole at even strength, I mean, what a hockey game it was. Physical, the puck battles, several chances on both ends, and some really good goaltending as well. But for the second game in a row for the Hurricanes, it all comes down to special teams. The Canes allow two power play goals, including the game winner, and in turn go 0-5 for the second game in a row. They're now 0-10 in the series on their own power play. Boy, something's got to change here as they head home down 0-2 in the series.
It's a small margin for error in the playoffs, and we got to buckle down on the power play and find a way to get one there. So go home, play in front of our fans, and move on.
Obviously, game three is huge, and we're going to take our home crowd emotion and hopefully stick it to them. We got to get better in a lot of different ways, but it's always nice going home.
Now, we knew coming into this series that the Rangers' power play was elite, but boy, their penalty kill has been just as lethal. They've now killed off 18 straight penalties this postseason. Rod Brendamore said, if we're going to have any chance at coming back in this series, well, something's got to change. Casey Hintz, WRL Sports, Manhattan.
Game three is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at PNC Arena. After the game, be sure to watch WREL for our exclusive post-game live coverage that starts at 11:25.
Our teacher of the year, the first week rather, first discovered music and then her love for teaching. WREL's Ken Smith is in Johnston County to surprise a music teacher who strikes a high note with all of her students.
And one, two, ready.
When Caitlin Faircloth conducts her music classes, it's a symphony of motion and melodies. Her discovery of music actually got her through her own high school years while coping with dyslexia.
Music was the one place that I actually excelled and succeeded.
As the director of band at Swift Creek Middle, Mrs. Faircloth pours her heart and soul into music and her students.
My passion is to give these kids the space to perform music and just to have a blast, just like I got when I was in high school.
And you're not afraid to pick up an instrument?
No, I can actually play all of them.
It's her way of teaching by example.
I find students find it better when they see, oh, she can actually do it. And even when I make a mistake, they're like, oh my gosh, she's human. She can actually like make a mistake too. And one, two, 11, two, ready.
Mrs. Faircloth, you are WREL's Teacher of the Week. Congratulations. How about a round of applause for Mrs. Faircloth?
Wow,
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Kent Smith, WREL News.
Congrats to her. Music teachers, awesome people. If you'd like to nominate a teacher, you can go to WREL.com and enter Teacher of the Week into the search box.
Yeah, we love our teachers. Amazing. All right, before we go to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. We will get another check on weather and traffic. That's coming up next.